We carry on with our study on the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ being the light and the challenge to walk in the light. Now, it's important to understand the whole doctrine together. We call this a biblical theology, where we look at the mention of a particular subject like light. Then we trace it throughout the whole gospel until we see very clear defining ideas appearing. And that will help us understand the theology of that particular doctrine. And the doctrine of light, interestingly, was quite well developed in the Gospel of John. And we have read in last week's study in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, where the Lord Jesus Christ is presented as the light, the one who is the light giver, the life giver. And then we also have a glimpse of how some people will end up rejecting the light. And this is recorded in John 3, verses 19 to 21. And of course, in John 8 and in John 9, John 8, 12, the Lord Jesus Christ states very clearly that he is the light of the world. And in John 9, 4, the Lord Jesus applies this concept to real life. It said, as long as he is in the world, he is the light of the world. And he must work the works of God while it is still day, because the night will come when no one can work. Well, these are challenges for us to ponder over very carefully. The challenge in today's lesson is to literally learn how to utilize the light that has been given to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught it this way. In John 11, 9 to 11, the Lord Jesus answered, and he said to his disciples, when they asked him why he was going over to Jerusalem, he knew that his enemies were vigilant. They were going to try to arrest him, hurt him, kill him if they could. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ risk everything just to be there? And the Lord Jesus Christ said that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And they couldn't understand why he had to do that. And so the Lord Jesus Christ answered and said to them, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. That's daylight, daytime. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to explain how he understood death. It is sleep, and he has the power and the authority to raise Lazarus from the dead, as one would awaken a person who is asleep. Now, our focus is not so much at the resurrection of Lazarus in this particular lesson. We've already covered that a few lessons ago. But the illustration is that of sunlight. In old Israel, time was sort of divided in two portions. There were 12 hours of sunlight from early morning to evening. And then from the evening over to the next morning, 12 hours of night, 12 hours of day. And so he was saying, if a person walks in the daylight, of course, he will not stumble. Why? If there are potholes, he can avoid. If there are stones, he can step over. If there are obstacles, he can overcome them easily because he can make use of the light. This is a reference to the light of the world, or in other words, from the sun. That's logical. That's natural. That's as it should be. The Lord Jesus moved from the illustration to talk about an internal light. Now, this internal light is already written in John 1, how the Lord Jesus Christ gives light to every man who comes into the world. And he gives light to those who believe in him. We call this the internal light. And that is something that we need to look at. What is this internal light? Perhaps some of us are not very conscious of this, but actually there is such a thing as an internal light. It's a light that comes from the life the Lord Jesus gives to us. It is a light that comes with enlightenment from the Spirit of God. And so we look at this light that we are given, and it's a part of us. It's actually inside us. So how do we know what is right and wrong? Well, the light inside us will tell us what is right, what is wrong. So broad outlines, we can understand this quite easily. But as we take a look at it further, we begin to realize that the Lord Jesus was teaching something far deeper. For example, he was saying that he is using this light to make this decision to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. Right? He could have not gone there. He could also decide to go there. On what basis would he decide to leave the relative safety of Galilee and step into relative danger that was in Judea, in Jerusalem particularly? On what basis would he do that? Well, he was saying, light. To him, this decision was actually quite clear. It is as clear as the daylight that he sees around him. It was daytime, and he can easily walk in the daytime from one place over to Jerusalem, no problem. Would he stumble? No. But when he applied this spiritually, he was teaching an important truth. So what was the decision to go over to Jerusalem? It was not because of daylight, physical light, that he decided to make the trip to Jerusalem. He was going to go there in that area. Now, Bethany is actually quite near Jerusalem. It's about 2 miles away. So when I speak about Jerusalem, we're talking about the vicinity of Jerusalem. There would be Jews there whom the Lord Jesus knew were friends of the family, and they would be there, and they could easily report him. In fact, the law was, if you ever see the Lord Jesus, report that. And so it was there. Yet he would go. Why would he go? One, he was trying to teach them. There was a light inside them that they were not actually utilizing. There was a light inside them that they didn't know was there and did not know how to use that light. And that is actually important. So the disciples had been given light, but they just had not learned how to use the light that is in them. And so they could not understand some of the decisions that the Lord Jesus made, particularly this one. To them, there was danger. To the Lord Jesus, this was the will of God. To them, it was really unwise. To the Lord Jesus, he was going to bring forth the glory of God to Mary, to Martha, to all who would be there. And some would even be saved if he were to go there. So there was light that the Lord Jesus Christ obviously had. Because he is the light giver, obviously he has a light in himself, and he would be able to apply the light in his own decision making. That is actually quite obvious. Well, the people, in this particular context of John chapter 12, the issue now was what the Lord Jesus Christ had said, that the Son of Man would be lifted up, signifying his death his suffering. And so the people asked this question of him and said to him, "We have heard from the law," a reference to the scriptures in general, "that the Christ remains forever." In other words, you know, he is eternal. "How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Which means to say that he will die. So they could not equate the two together. On the one hand, the Son of Man is eternal. On the other hand, the Son of Man must be lifted up. In other words, he will die. So they raise this question, who is this Son of Man? Obviously, they had no light to help them navigate the darkness that they were in. They couldn't understand, right? Remember, we go back to John 1. What was this light that was given? There is a general kind of light where we can understand right from wrong. That is general light. But there is a light that comes when a person is born again. That person becomes a child of God. There is an extra bit of light that is given. And this extra bit of light will enable a person to actually understand who the Son of Man is, what he came to do, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and more. Obviously, these people who raised this question did not have this light. And so they ask what would seem to be a very basic question. On the one hand, the Son of Man is eternal. The answer is yes. There is an eternal part of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being spirit, he is always the Son of God. He is always an eternal spirit person. On the other hand, he also donned flesh, and the Word became flesh. And this is what we read in John 1:14. This was the part they could not understand. This was the Son of Man part of it, where in Psalm 2, God said that he was Son. And there were other aspects. Isaiah 7:14, how he would be born of the virgin. These were aspects which will speak about the Son of Man in the flesh, in the physical form part of it. And they could not equate the two. And so they asked, how can you say this? Who then is really the Son of Man? Now that will tell us that there was no spiritual light for them to comprehend this doctrine of the Son of Man. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said in answer to this question or to this statement, and this is what he said, "A little while longer, the light is with you." This refers to himself, obviously. A little longer, this light, the light is with you. And this is important. But until they come to the point when they understand, believe, comprehend that Jesus is indeed the light of the world, John 8:12, they will not be able to understand what he really means. Right? This is what the Lord said again and again. So chapter 1, chapter 3, right? Chapter 8, chapter 9. And now we go into chapter 11 and then into chapter 12. Right? So there are so many chapters already, references have been made to the Lord Jesus Christ being that light. But there was just the lack of understanding. There was a sense of urgency here now, because he was saying, right, to walk in the light while they still had the light. A little while longer, the light is with you. The challenge then is to walk while you have the light. They won't always have the Lord Jesus Christ with them. Darkness will come soon, just as darkness will follow light. So it is as the Lord Jesus Christ finished his earthly life darkness can come. And it was coming to them in a way that they did not fully comprehend. Darkness can overtake. Darkness can cause people to walk in it. And he would not know where he is going. The challenge is to understand Jesus as the light. Two, to have the light in them. Three, to follow what the Lord Jesus has been saying about the light and then walk in the light. But if they will not walk in the light, they are not going to utilize the light that has been given to them. Then it will be darkness that will overtake them. And this overtaking by darkness is a very real problem. If light is not utilized, if light is covered up, then darkness may well prevail. And this is important. Well, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, in John 1, darkness could not prevail. Darkness could not overtake it. Why? Because he continued to shine as the light. And as long as he's shining in the light, darkness has no chance to prevail. And this was what the Lord Jesus was trying to explain to them. That they were, in fact, walking in darkness. That they were in darkness. This is what we read about in Matthew chapter 4, right? And where the Lord Jesus went to Zebulun or to Galilee, in that area, and people were in darkness, sitting around in darkness, in the shadow of death. And the great light had shone on them, if only they would understand this. What is darkness at the end of the day? Darkness is the opposite of light, obviously. And what is that? It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of faith. It's a lack of understanding. And as long as they were where they were, it would be darkness all the time. And this darkness will overtake them and will overwhelm them if they reject the light that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the light the Lord Jesus Christ can give. And so he says to them urgently, while you have the light, believe in the light. And there is the focus on believing once again. And if people will not believe in the Lord Jesus and the light that he gives and the light that he wants people to have, then we are going to end up with nothing. And if they reject the light that is in the Lord Jesus, they reject the knowledge that he gives, they reject all the things that the Lord Jesus stood for, the power that he had, the authority that he obviously displayed, the glory that was seen in his life and the things that he has done. And if they were going to reject all of these things here, no matter what he tries to explain to them, they will remain in darkness. And so the Lord challenged them to look at a greater thing to consider. And so he said that they may become sons of light. That was the crucial issue. They were not sons of light. And because they were not sons of light, they had no light to guide them, to help them. And as long as they reject the light that was in the Lord Jesus, that he was giving, they would never have this light in them. And so he urged them to believe in him so that they become sons of light. Not just have the light, but sons of light. They will actually be able to utilize the light that God has given to them. Now, this is important. And so we take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And we in verse 36 of John 12. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. And when he said that about how they must walk in the light while the light was still with them, if the Lord Jesus were to walk away from them, darkness will come. And this was a great sense of urgency that he utilized to help them to understand what it means to have that light. But the Lord had to leave the people, and deliberately so. One, there were other things that he must do. There were other ministries that he must give attention to. There were other aspects of God's will that must be fulfilled. He cannot stand the whole day discussing light and darkness when he has already done that and recorded for us in chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 12 of the Gospel of John. These chapters tell us that the Lord Jesus spoke about light on many occasions. And John and others had to explain to them that there were all these indications that Jesus truly is the light giver and he is the life giver. The issue is whether they will find the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as they should. But if they were not going to take the first step to listen to the Lord Jesus and believe in him, you will never find the light. They will not become sons of light, and there is little point in discussing this further. Discussion in itself will not necessarily lead to understanding of light or the possession of light. Faith is what is needed. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is what is needed in order to become sons of light, in order to have the light. And the challenge is to use that light. Now, if it is a question of idle interest, talking about the Son of Man, talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ meant, talking about things that that literally is almost of idle interest, that is something the Lord Jesus does not want to engage in. One, it's an absolute waste of time. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ knows the heart. Whether they are really interested or whether they are just talking, we cannot see that, what's really happening in the heart, but the Lord Jesus can. You know, as we take a look at the study of this doctrine of light, we must have a bit of a summary of this doctrine. And this is important. So we go back to John chapter 1, that he is the light of life. John 8, he is the light of the world. I think that is important. So we must come to this basic knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ first. The next step would be the need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 12, it is so that we become children of God. Over here, it's described as we become sons of light. To become children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will actually make us sons of light. It's just expressed a little bit differently. So we can become sons of light. The moment we actually believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a special light is given. And we can become sons of light, guided by light. The light of God, the light that comes from God's word, the light that is seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, how he thought, how he acted, how he responded, that would be light for us so that we can follow his example, walk in his footsteps. And that is the challenge of it all, to walk in the light. And this is something that we must consider very, very, very carefully. Well, as we take a look at this whole doctrine, we begin to realize that many lived in darkness. In Matthew 4, 15 and 16, we read this. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Galilee was, they had more Gentiles than there were Jews there, actually. So what happened there? In verse 16, we read, the people who sat in darkness. Why do they sit in darkness? Because they don't know how to walk in darkness. Nobody walks around in darkness. But it's common practice. So the wisest thing, the safest thing to do is to sit in darkness. But the problem with that, you still have darkness. It might be safe for a while. You don't endanger yourself, but you still have the problem of darkness. What is needed? More than safety. What is needed? A great light. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that great light. Upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light, great light had dawned. And the Lord Jesus Christ began to tell the people, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's how we become children of God. That's how we become sons of light. That's how we have the light of life. That's how we have the light that comes from life that the Lord Jesus Christ would give to us. From the Lord Jesus Christ comes much needed light. But what is our challenge? And our challenge must be to choose to walk in the light, to choose to be the light of the world. And this is absolutely vital. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. The challenge is to let the light that God has given us to shine before men. And this light is seen in the good works that we do. And then we can glorify our Father in heaven. And this is our challenge. So as we conclude our study of the doctrine of light, let's appreciate afresh how the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world, how he is the light of life, and how we can become children of God and sons of light. The challenge for us is not just to have knowledge, but to become the lights of the world that we were meant to be. Let's challenge to shine for the Lord. Let's challenge, be challenged to shine through the good deeds that we do in life so that people can see these good deeds and realize that it is light that we have. And we can have people drawn to God through our life, through the light that we shine, that we reflect of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. We thank you that because of him, we can have the light of life. And in him, through him, we can shine through the good deeds that we do in life. We pray that you will continue to challenge us to find that light, to understand how that works, and then to walk in the light and not stumble in the darkness. We pray that you will move our hearts to do this, and along the way, be a light to people who are sitting in darkness, that they may find the salvation that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.